Hey everybody, welcome back to Growth Mindset for Kids. This is Erin Monahan, your host and founder and creator, erinkmonahan.com. And today I want to talk about feelings. Feelings. I won't sing because I'm not good at it, but I do want to talk about it because we have kids who have really big feelings, and a lot of times I feel like we don't know how to handle it at all. Like, I know I don't know how to handle it at all. I can't even say it. I don't know how to handle it so terribly. But it's a learning process, and so I want to share with you guys what I've learned. So I'm calling this the tip of the week, how to allow your child to have those emotions without losing your mind. Because when you don't know how to, like, deal with it, there's this fear for me, and this, like, want and desire to control the situation, so that basically my kid doesn't embarrass me, even if it's in my own home. I'm like, geez, like, why are we so upset? And so I want to talk about that. So I'm going to take a sip of coffee. And let's dive in here. So I'm a kid of the 80s, child of the 80s, if you're an 80s kid, holla. But I grew up in an era where, and a lot of kids did, you know, even before this, but where you brushed the dirt off your knees, you sucked it up, you went on with life, right? You were proud to bootstrap it through, right? Like, you know, we're tough, we're scrappy, we knuckle down, we power through, like, we get through it. And those are really great skills to have. But, you know, the difficult circumstances back then weren't dealt with like they are today. Like, I was bullied and I was sexually harassed. And I learned that women were, you know, emotional basket cases and can't control themselves. I'm doing air quotes as I say that. But, like, all of that stuff, it was pretty normal. It wasn't as nearly as big of a deal, probably because there was no internet yet. But it was all kind of normal. And, you know, no one really understood yet that these were real issues in kids' lives, or at least not to the scale that they are today. I'm not saying we totally ignored them, but I think we did on some level. And that these things affect them on a deeper level that would then show up in adulthood. Right? Like, what are you dealing with now that you maybe didn't get to deal with as a kid? And so thank goodness it's different now that there's, like, so much awareness around this kind of stuff, to the point where it almost feels like, there's too much awareness. Like it's a little overwhelming and there's so much information out there, and it can feel, to me, it makes me a little paranoid because I feel like now there's so many things I have to think about, in ways to protect my child when I was raised on this mindset of you'll be fine, right? And there's these topics now where no one's fine. And so not only can it feel really overwhelming, but it can feel really strange that, our kids might need something different than what we experienced as kids. And, you know, my natural response is to get defensive. You know, if someone tells me to be gentler or calmer or more patient with anything, not just kids, like, I will do the exact opposite. And I think that comes from, you know, a deeper question of, well, where was my protection when I was being bullied or harassed or made to feel small and insecure? No one was there to help me. Like, I'm fine. My kid will be fine. They will learn to cope. Except the reality is I wasn't fine and you probably weren't fine. We were just telling ourselves that we were because we learned to cope and we learned to get through life and we deal with the hard things it throws at us, right? Like, we adapt and maneuver around challenges, but that doesn't mean we've got it all figured out. It doesn't mean it's the right way necessarily. It's simply the only way we know, you know, like, let's compare this to Common Core math, which I totally hate, and I haven't even experienced it yet because my kid's only in first grade. I don't know if Common Core math is a great idea or not. I don't understand it. So therefore, it annoys me and it frustrates me. But that doesn't mean my way is the only right way. It's the just the only way that I know. Okay. So let's say your kid is dealing with anxiety and depression, on some level, perfectionism, that kind of a thing. And it's something that you dealt with as a kid and you maybe still deal with now. And to you, it's like, well, this is normal. This is fine. It'll make them stronger. They'll get through it. I'm fine. Therefore, they will be fine. Okay? And we do this. Kind of normal to do this. And it's a coping mechanism. When it comes to our kids, a lot of times, it's very easy to stick our heads in the sand and pretend like nothing's wrong. Because if something was wrong, we blame ourselves, or we don't know what to do, or it feels too overwhelming. And so we just kind of go into this denial thing and pretend that it doesn't exist. But for real, if someone gave you the vaccine for anxiety and depression and perfectionism or whatever it is that your kid's dealing with, if there was a solution, like they could get a shot or a pill, something that would fix it for them, would you keep it from your child just because you had to suffer through the same thing? And, oh, well, if they can suffer through, like, it'll make them stronger? Like, of course not. Yes, they need to learn to be resilient, pick themselves up, get stronger, and that sort of thing. But there's certain things that just suffering through doesn't make it better. Not everything, but, you know, scratches on the knees. Yeah, there's nothing you can do. You got to suffer through. You got to make it stronger. But by this logic, it's worth looking at the very things that we've been working so hard to avoid. Namely, feelings, okay? Let's just say it. Emotions, we don't like them. They're uncomfortable. It's kind of the elephant in the room. It's not cool to have feelings, especially ladies. I know if you're like me, you've learned to like shove all those feelings down because you didn't want to be the emotional woman, quote unquote, that we learned about back in the 80s. And I know that's still very prevalent today. Women are too emotional. Like, we can't control ourselves. We're just, you know, like, we cry all the time and whatever, right? And I worked really hard to craft a persona of myself that did not do that for a number of reasons, but namely, I did not want to be, quote, like everybody else. I'm going to use a lot of air quotes that you can't see over here, so I apologize. but I didn't want to be lumped in with everyone else. And a lot of times we're afraid of our feelings because we don't know what they mean. We don't know how to deal with them. But our kids have feelings, and so on some level, like, we have to. Otherwise, they're going to turn into little numbed out robots just like us. I'm raising my hand, so, like, I'm with you here. You're not alone in this. And I used to honestly pride myself on that. Like, look at me, I'm not an emotional female, therefore I'm more attractive to men somehow, or I can get along with everybody because I'd never react. Like, I'm, like, super chill, calm, cool, and collected. That sort of thing, okay? That's not necessarily something to be proud of. That was me being super numbed out for like 3 decades of my life and not having emotions, period, because I was afraid of them. Research shows that our babies, I'm sure you've heard this, our babies have a cry that is perfectly pitched to get on our very last shred of a nerve. Right? Or, as science would say ever so much more nicely, activate our caregiving instincts so that we pay attention to them and give them what they need, okay? Like, there is nothing more powerful than a screaming child for you to, like, jump into action. What do they need so I can shut them up? Okay, real talk, guys. I know what it's like. It's exhausting, but you do it anyways. Right? Because babies are helpless and they can't do a thing on their own, and it makes sense, and you're like, you can get on board with that. It's logical. What's harder to grasp is the more advanced emotions of a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old who has this full range, but not the understanding or vocabulary or maturity to cope with what's going on inside of them, right? Like, all they know how to do is be mad, sad, or happy. They don't know frustrated. They don't know annoyed. They don't know jealous. They don't know, even hurt feelings sometimes, right? And they can talk to you all day long. And as long as they're happy and content and behaving well, like everything's cool, you enjoy them. This is nice, right? You say to yourself, oh, it's so nice to sit here and talk to my kid. But when they have the tantrums and the frustrations, sometimes on a dime, and the stomping off for no reason, like, holy fucking hell, like, why did I even have kids? Is where I go. What have I done? And it was very easy. Like, I'm going to be just totally real with you guys. It was very easy for me to just send my son to his room when he lost his cool, to let him just go chill out, to just not deal with it, and just assume that he would pull his shit together and get on with life. It is super, super easy to forget that they have no clue what's going on in their little bodies, and they don't know how they feel, okay? So it's really unfair to expect them to get on that emotional level and pull it together and be okay moving forward. You have to process this with them. It's very easy to have this unreasonable and unfair expectation because, and this is just specific to me, he happens to be great at school and he's a very deep thinker. And so he comes across as older than he actually is. And so I assume his emotional maturity would match mine. He's freaking 6. Of course it doesn't. And so, like, I would get mad at him for even getting mad. Look at all the things I do for you, I would say. Or, you're so ungrateful. I work all day and this is the thanks I get. Like, do you ever see me sitting down? No, because I'm doing things for you all the time. Blah, blah, blah. And, like, this is me making it about me. And obviously, like, looking back, that is ludicrous and very poorly handled. But that's why they say hindsight is 20/20, right? We learn from our mistakes. Thank goodness. Excuse me. What I didn't have at the time was the tools to do it differently. Like, I could see myself creating chaos, but I didn't know what to do instead. I didn't even think about him needing his own emotional support because nobody gave it to me. So I didn't have any idea how to give it. I didn't have a good example. And a lot of us live and die by this kind of excuse, and I am going to call it an excuse, even though you might not have, like, known about it, you're still responsible for it. And we say things like, well, it's not my fault I'm this way, like, I'm the victim here, and look, I, you know, like I just said it, I didn't have the tools, I didn't know what to do. That's not actually helping anyone, and like I said, we're still responsible for how we show up and behave. If we don't know what to do, it's required that we go find answers. We don't just give up and be like, oh, well, it's not helpful. And so what happened when I came across growth mindset for myself, purely by accident, as I was building a business, this like ties in, that's basically what it's all about. When I was learning about it, then it started to trickle down into my family. And that's why I'm talking to you guys about it. Because I started parenting better when I understood what it was, and I started having more patience, and I started seeing the need for other people to be seen and heard and understood. And it was because I started giving myself permission to have emotions, as weird as that sounds, but that helped me to start have empathy for where others were where they are. Nope, that sentence doesn't make sense. I started to have empathy for other people having their feelings instead of just being upset that they were upset. I would get upset at everybody for being mad. Like, why are you mad? Like, this is ridiculous. And it was because I wasn't letting myself be upset about anything. So the problem, in essence, wasn't my kid. The problem was I didn't know how to have emotions, and so everybody else's emotions confused me, and I didn't know what to do. And I say that, I share my own story because this is where so many of us live. We are ill-equipped. It's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. We are ill-equipped to deal with grief, frustration, fear, even joy. Like, how many times is somebody else happy and you're just like, we're jealous, right? Like, we can't even celebrate somebody else because we're just jealous. All we know is our own stuff. And we're too afraid to let that out where other people can see it. Like, how often do you say, I'm fine, when you're not actually fine, but you don't have the words, or you don't have the courage, or you don't know whatever it is. And it means sitting with the uncomfortable emotions of others while they pour their hearts out. We don't want to deal with that. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, it's super uncomfortable. And we wonder why none of us are connected, right? Or feel like we're part of something, or we don't know our neighbors, or we lack close friendships. Why don't I have any friends? It's because we simply don't know how to connect and be vulnerable and even be brave enough to say, I don't know what to say. Okay? Like, you can just be honest, and the people appreciate that more than anything. So, like, examples. Like, what am I talking about? Tangible examples. Anytime we hear somebody has passed away, or someone is dealing with depression, and they have the balls to actually tell you they've been dealing with depression, which is a huge thing to do. Normally, those people just, like, keep it to themselves. Or what about divorce? If you have a friend that's going through divorce, I have so many friends who have just all gone through divorces, and it was like, well, I'm not interested in losing my friends, so, like, I better show up. And I have no idea what to say. I don't even have that experience. But they deserve for me to not ditch them in their time of need. Or what about abuse? Okay? Our habit, really bad habit, and what society has conditioned us to do is to just disappear. We don't know what to do, and so we run and hide. And we leave our friend alone, and you know, we don't know what to say, so we think it's better to say nothing, okay? As somebody on the other side of grief and trauma and abuse and a whole bunch of stuff, like, that's not helpful. It's really not. You just feel more alone. And you already feel alone because you're having, like, a weird situation happen. Or we do this other thing where we try and fix it. We give advice. Here's a Band-Aid. Or we say stupid stuff like, well, at least blah, blah, blah isn't happening. And we try to make the other person feel better in the most insulting way possible. raise your hand if you've done this. It's okay, okay? We make it about us because we're uncomfortable. And our discomfort provokes us to slap a quick fix on our loved ones. And it also makes us slap a quick fix on ourselves so we can get back to being fine, right? We just want to be fine. It's so uncomfortable to sit with our own emotions about stuff. Let's just, let's numb it out. Let's find things to cover it up. Let's go, let's see, what do? We have retail therapy. We go shopping. We spend a lot of money. That'll make us feel better. We eat. Let me go get a pizza. Let me go get a burger. I deserve this. Let me go get a carton of ice cream. This is going to make me feel better. We drink a bottle of wine. That was my thing. We do this with our friends. You know, let me bring you food. Let's sit and drink together. Do you need a smoke? Do you need a this? Do you need a that? Like, what thing can I give you so I can check this off and I can say I did something and now this person should feel better, or I should feel better, okay? Can we quit with the I'm fine, really? And I know that's hard, but I say all this because this is doing our kids no favors, all right? They're watching us numb out and cover up emotions and hide things like fighting with our spouse. I'm not saying everything is age appropriate, but we have to do the hard thing of allowing them to see feelings and have feelings. All right, they've got to see you have feelings. They've got to be allowed to have feelings, even when we're clueless and we don't know how to handle it, theirs or ours. All right, let's talk about theirs. When it seems like this is one tantrum too many and they need to pull it together, you got to let them have their feelings. Even when it's mega embarrassing because it's the middle of the grocery store and your 9-year-old is having a meltdown, like, toddler tantrums are more acceptable in public. What about when it's a big kid, or when it's making you late for work, or it's making them late for school? And the fact that anyone is going to be late actually makes it worse because everyone has anxiety about being late and we're not having permission to feel things. Like, I get that. That's an actual scenario that happens in my house. And I learned how to knock this off. which changed everything in my house. So I'm going to share that with you. It's 4 steps, and it's going to make it a lot easier for you. Difficult at first, just like when we learn to say no to our children and we're like, no, you can't run the house. They have their tantrums and then they get on with life, okay? It will get better, but you've got to set the boundaries. In this instance, it's different boundaries, okay? We're expanding them in some areas and changing them in others. So I don't want to say we're adding boundaries here, but we are changing them up to create a space where they can have feelings. So just walk with me on this, okay? Number one, here's what you can do in your own house with your own kids. Number one, let them freak out. Just let them freak out. Seriously, they've got to get it out of their bodies. Teaching them to squash it, telling them to calm down, convincing them to hold it in because you don't think it's that big of a deal is what leads to chronic stress, anxiety, depression, eating disorders, compromising your immune system. Like, this is really important to do, okay? And if you're not familiar with your own freakouts, you need to let yourself freak out too, because holding it in is leading you to chronic stress, anxiety, depression, eating disorders, compromising your immune system, and so on, okay? It applies to all people, adults included. So when it comes to your kid, it's gonna suck. You will be embarrassed at some point. So just go ahead and like prep for that, accept it, be ready for it. I don't really know how to prepare in advance other than to sort of just expect that this is part of it. And here's why. There's no way for them to learn to self-regulate if we're always regulating for them. Okay? And I know you want to help them calm down and you want to teach them that like this is not something to have a level 10 reaction when this is like a level 2 problem. And I know that's what you're going for. But like in order to get there, they've got to learn to self-regulate first. I finally had to allow my kid to just like scream and be physical because it was what he needed with boundaries. Okay. So this doesn't mean he gets to hurt other people. He doesn't get to damage the house. He doesn't get to put himself in danger. I'm going to talk about how to set those boundaries in a minute, but it means he gets to be upset however he needs to be upset. Okay. Some people get upset and they get in the car and they have to go drive, right? Some people get upset and they need to take a walk. Some people get upset and like they need to have a drink. You know, there's more to that. But some people get upset and they need to cry. Some people get upset and they're angry. However you need to be upset has to be okay. All right. So that's the key here. You don't get to tell them how to be upset because it's only going to delay this process. Okay. Number two, when they're calm, after they've had their freak out, I want you to empathize with them. I want you to meet them where they are. I want you to validate those little emotions that they have, okay? Not when they're screaming, but after they've had a few moments to stop seeing red, okay? Take a few deep breaths, stop crying, thinking a little more clearly, and talk about how they were feeling. Be incredibly understanding. Get on their level. Get into what they were experiencing. Be on their side, even if their side is totally irrational, okay? I know you've had moments where you were, like, super upset about something, and looking back, you're like, wow, I kind of had, like, a crazy moment, and that was out of control, but thank goodness my partner or my kid or whoever was with you just went along with it because you needed to get the crazy out, okay? So you can say things like, oh my gosh, that made you really mad when I said that you couldn't blah, blah, blah. Or when your friend did whatever, you know, fill in the blank. I would be mad about that too. You really wanted to do whatever. You really wanted to play with that toy. You really wanted to buy that snack. And it feels unfair. It feels so unfair that I said no. I can tell that was really important to you. Okay? Or some, you know, some combination of that. But like you were empathizing with a friend, or like you were empathizing with your spouse or somebody that you love, get on their level, meet them where they are, and just like be in the trench with them. You know what I mean? Like when your friend is going through something shitty, or when you are going through something shitty, you just want somebody to come down there and like bitch about it with you. Do you know what I mean? I know you know what I mean. Like, this is why girls get together and drink wine. Because sometimes you just need to like vent, okay? So vent with them. It's okay. It's temporary, okay? And you can also ask questions if you're not sure, you know, like, what else were you feeling? Or tell me what happened. What did you want to happen instead? You know, like you can guide, I don't want to say control. You can guide the conversation, but get them to kind of talk it out. Okay. So that's number two. Number three, problem solve with compassion. It's easy to want our kids to match us emotionally, but then we turn around and then talk down to them. So be with me and process your emotions, like a grown up, but also do what I say and your opinion doesn't matter. Okay. That's a confusing message. It's easy to forget that they're people. They want respect and kindness just like anyone else. So you may need to stick to your guns about whatever needs to happen in the situation, because chances are good they're mad about something that you said, okay? You stick to your guns, don't change it, but whatever needs to happen, stay calm, okay? Talk to them and explain instead of bossing and demanding, okay? You don't have to explain 10 times. You don't have to reason. You don't have to answer every why. You don't have to, you know, like, you don't have to do that circular stuff, which is what leads us to yelling in the end. But we can be respectful in what we say. We can be respectful in how we say it, instead of bossing and demanding. And this is where your patience is truly going to shine, because this is where they're going to push. Okay? Because they might not like the outcome. They might not like how the problem is being solved. It may not go their way, but you can do this, okay? Do your best. It's okay, all right? You'll get better, and so will they. And then number four, you're going to make a plan for next time, because maybe this time was a total shitstorm, and that's okay, because we're learning. Emotions can't be avoided and shouldn't be avoided, like, bottom line. But you can think ahead for next time, and you can involve your child in helping them have some ownership over their own emotions. And here's how you can do that. First thing is, help them find and create a calm down space, a space that is only for calming down and not for discipline. And I've said this before, but we've had some confusion on this, as they were the same place once upon a time. Make it special. Add things they want to have in that space to have a few minutes to catch their breath. This is great for kids that have frequent, intense meltdowns, speaking from experience. And then, so that's part one. Get them a space, get them involved, create the space together, make it somewhere that they want to go, okay? Make it enticing to them. And then the second part is, work together to come up with a calm down time frame. And you can talk about this, you know, like, buddy, I want you to be able to have your feelings. Your feelings are fine. You can be upset. I want you to be able to get upset and go have your upset time in your upset time space, your calm down space. And then we can talk about how to fix it. Okay. So, and ask them, how long do you think this should be? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it could even be 30 minutes. And you probably have to test these to see what works best. The number doesn't really matter. All that's important here is that it works for your kid and they agree with you on the amount of time. Okay. So if they're not sure, you can say, okay, why don't we try 5 minutes? Okay. First time we'll try 5 minutes. Okay. So this is all one big experiment, but let them have their freak out and then problem solve. Okay. So those are the four steps. Number one, let them freak out. They have to be able to do this. Number two, when they're calm, empathize with them, get on their level. Number three, problem solve with compassion, respect, and kindness. And number four, make a plan for next time. Get that calm down space. Get that calm down time frame. Have the freak out and then problem solve. Okay? And surprise! This takes effort. This takes effort and practice and a heap of self-control on your part. I'm sorry to say, but it is worth it. I know your kid triggers the hell out of you, and this is hard to do. I'm not saying this is easy. You're learning it together. You may have never done this before, so please, please, please don't expect yourself to be perfect the first time. Deep breaths, moms and dads. teachers too, you're in control. It can be done. It is worth it. Because here's why. We've done this here in our home. I've seen changes in the level of intensity that my son has now. Because he's free to express himself with those boundaries, okay, of here's where you can do this, and here's how long you can do it for, okay? Knowing that he can trust me to talk it out calmly with him after. So he knows, absolutely, we're going to discuss this, and it's not like a dictatorship where, you know, I don't hear him out, or I'm just going to say because I said so. Even though sometimes I still say that. But he knows that we're going to have a time to talk about it. So he gets his point heard. Okay. He may not get his way, but he gets to be heard. Okay. And he gets to be upset and he gets to have his feelings. So this works. Okay. It does. It's going to be intense at first. It's going to be a little crazy at first, but they will learn to self-regulate when they have the freedom to express. Okay. He doesn't get nearly as upset as before. That bounce back period, that calm down time frame is much shorter than it used to be. He knows we can solve it together. He knows I'm on his side. That's huge. Okay. So not only are you helping them work through their own emotions, self-regulate what they're feeling, you're establishing a closer relationship and you're building trust between you guys. And isn't that what we've been after all along, right? Like, that's what you want. Okay, so this is how you can start to get there. So I would love to hear back from you guys. If you're not in the group, I'm gonna just keep inviting you to the group because it's an amazing place and we can actually have some back and forth conversations, some interaction in there. So come over to Facebook. Growth Mindset for Kids is the Facebook group. Just type it in the search bar, it should pop right up. It's got the same graphic as the podcast. And hop in there and tag me, say hello, introduce yourself, let me know what's going on with you and your kid. I'm here to help. Thank you guys for listening, and I will catch you next time. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you later.